Genesis 49 and 22, when you have it, say amen. Genesis 49 and 22. Amen. The word of the Lord says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. I want you to pay note to verse 23. It says, the archers, everybody shout, the archers. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow, everybody shout, his bow. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Ephesians 6 and 11, as quickly as you can, and Ephesians 6 and 16. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, or in some transliterations, this word means all the fiery arrows. Everybody shout, arrows of the wicked. I don't know what God is going to do here this morning, but I feel my assignment pretty clearly in the Holy Ghost. And I want to humbly minister to some young people this morning. I've prayed, I've sought the Lord. I felt I've seen things, I've felt things, I've battled things in the Holy Ghost the last few weeks. And I've come to preach to some wounded young people, some young people that you've dragged yourself to this conference to hear from God because you need strength to keep fighting in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But if you're going to help me preach and you want God to speak to you, why don't you clap your hands one more time, lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. God, we need your spirit. God, we need your anointing. Lord, we need your word. Come on, there's anybody in the house that you need God to speak to you, that you need the strength of the Holy Ghost to help you keep fighting. Come on, day by day, week by week, you need God's spirit. Amen, amen. Clap your hands as loud as you can unto the Lord if you love him. Only if and if and only you help me preach and you promise not to fall asleep, may you be seated. Amen. If I can get just a tad more monitor, that would be awesome this morning. Amen. I feel to deliver this morning a declaration to this body of young people, a declaration to help you keep the victory. Anybody feel the spirit of victory in the house? Amen. A declaration to help you keep the victory. And I want to preach with the help of God's hand about archers, arrows, and moving targets. Everybody say it with me. Archers, arrows, and moving targets. It is within our lives that many of us have encountered someone that I want to introduce you to this morning. You've encountered him in the supernatural, but I want to give you some insight to his physical characteristics to help us understand the adversary that we're up against this morning. I want to introduce you to the archer. The archer is a man with keen eyes, with cunning skill, with a steady hand, his masterful ability to operate a bow and arrow makes archers a walking, lurking, deadly weapon. In biblical times, it was the archer that was given the responsibility of provision to provide food for the family. It was the archer that was given the responsibility that he was given the task of protecting his loved ones and protecting his family. You would even find in scripture that there is a glimmer of biblical implication that the archer was the masterful skill and the trade of the firstborn. You see this begin to play out as in Genesis 21 and 20, the firstborn of Abraham's name was Isaac. And the Bible says that Isaac was an archer. Everybody shout archer. That Isaac was an archer. And then you see the same skill, this skill that's transcended down through the family as the firstborn of Isaac named Esau, Ishmael's nephew. The Bible says in Genesis 27 and 3 that Esau took bow and arrow in hand and was responsible for bringing back venison for the family. I want to preach about the archer because in the biblical days, the archers were called upon in the times when kings were war against kings and kingdoms were war against kingdoms. It was the archers that the king would call upon, and the king would line the archers along the walls, and he gave them responsibility to defend the city at all costs. It was the hand of the archer that was even more deadly, because on the opposite side of that wall, contrary to the archers that lined that wall, there was another group of archers, first response of offense against a city that a king that was planning a siege to overthrow and attack a city, he himself would also call on the archers. And this is why in Jeremiah 50 and 29, when Israel was under oppression, the Bible says that Jeremiah said, call together the archers. And he said, call together these archers that we may overthrow Babylon. I want to preach to somebody right now in this house that we must understand and take pride and know whose kingdom that we are a part of. I think I'll say it again. I want to tell you that I'm glad that I know whose kingdom I'm fighting on. It was the archer's arrows that was detrimental to a kingdom living and dying. You will find in the Bible that there are at least three times that there were kingdoms that they were under threat and came almost to an end because of the hand of archers. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and 34, you find that King Josiah, he died at the hand of an arrow that wounded him because of the archers. You find in the Bible in 2 Chronicles 35 and 23, it was Josiah and it was King Ahab and it was King Saul that these men that were anointed by God, they were anointed by the hand of God, but yet the hand of an archer was a threat to the kingdom. Can I tell somebody this morning that the adversary is not going to let you leave Mid-America with victory? It's something that you're going to have to fight for. I don't know what it is that you've come with here this morning, but I've come to tell somebody, I feel it deep in the Holy Ghost, that there's arrows that's flying at our young people this morning. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I pray for a spirit. I pray for a burden that I can talk to the minds, that I can speak to the wounds of every young person in this house. And I want to tell you, I'm preaching to young people that's been under the attack of the archer. But hear me clearly, I've come to preach to help bind the wounds that God wants to heal. There's young people in this room right now. The atmosphere has been speaking to you. There's arrows of depression that's targeting your mind. There's arrows of lust and perversion that's trying to attack your soul. There's arrows of suicide. There's arrows that's flying at preacher kids. There's arrows flying at musicians and flying at youth groups. But I've come with the Spirit to tell you to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, somebody clap your hands and love the Lord in the house. Amen. I want to help you this morning. Is it all right if I just teach and talk to you for a little bit? Brother Lewis said that we were bringing the groceries, so it's lunchtime. I'm just going to unpack the lunchbox and set it all on the table. Sometimes us as preachers begin to pray prayers that we think are cool and prayers that we think God wants us to hear. And I begin to get down on my knees and I say, Lord, I want to feel what those young people are feeling. God, I want your spirit of heaviness to touch my soul because I want to feel the wounds. I want to feel the arrows that these young people are feeling. And can I tell you that that was a grave mistake? Because when I got down on my knees, it felt like every arrow from hell was flown in my direction. I began to battle things that I had no desire to battle. I had things that would come to my mind. There was arrows shooting at me. And it was almost if when I would get down to pray that I would hear the arrows flying by, the arrows of lies and deceptions that the adversary put in your ears. Can I tell you that there's some young men right now that there's a call on your life to preach, but the adversary is shooting arrows at you, and he's telling you, are you sure you called to preach because your pastor hasn't asked you to preach yet? There's some young ladies right now, there's arrows flying in your ears, and he's saying, why don't you just cut a little bit of those dead ends? Your hair would be that much longer if you did. Am I talking to anybody just yet? There's some young ladies right now, there's a struggle within you because you want to be holy and you want to live for God, but there's arrows that's flying at your heart, trying to distort what God created you to be, trying to deframe what God called you to be, trying to change what God has instilled for you to be. But I feel the Holy Ghost rising up on the inside of me. I feel the Spirit of the Almighty God saying, I shall not be afraid for the arrow that flies by day. King David said in Psalm 91 and 5, he said, I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Can I remind you why? Because there's a prophet in Isaiah that said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Oh, I need you to feel the Holy Ghost right now. I don't care what the arrow is. I don't care what the lie is. There's an archer on your side. There's a God in your corner. And I serve a God that will step in and fight for you. Oh, somebody clap your hands and love the Lord right now. I'm telling you, every arrow that the devil's lying, every arrow that the devil's shooting, I'm telling you, we serve a God that is greater. Now, there's a part of me that when I look at the Word of God, I begin to see things that may or may not be there. I begin to stretch things and pull one place to the other, and remember that there are implications that the trade of the firstborn is the trade of the archer. And then there's Colossians 1 and 15 that says, who is the image of the invisible God? Everybody shout Jesus. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is this great and mighty God? Who is this King? Who is the express image of God Almighty? And it says he's the firstborn of every creature. And that may not mean much to you right now. But then I read in Revelation 6 and 2 that John had a vision, and John saw something that was powerful. That John in Revelation 6 and 2, he said, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. He said, I saw a white horse, but on that horse, he said, he that sat on him had a bow. Everybody shout a bow. He that sat on that white horse had a bow. Can I tell you, Brother Lewis, the way that we fight back against the adversary, the only way that hell wins is if we learn to start fighting back. The only way that hell wins is if we learn to start fighting back. But the Bible says that on this horse, there was a God that was the firstborn of every creature, and he just so happened to have a bow in his hand. The Bible says that a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Can I tell somebody right now that you have no choice but to win, because the archer of all archers, the mighty God, the captain of the Lord's hosts, the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords, there's a bow in his hands, and he's fighting on your behalf. I need you to feel what I'm preaching to you this morning. King David in Psalm 64 and 3, there was people that was wetting their tongue like a sword, and they were shooting their bows with arrows. But King David said at verse 7, he said, but God shall shoot his arrow. He shall shoot an arrow, and he shall suddenly wound the adversary. Can I tell you right now that every devil in hell that's been coming against you, there's a God that's defending you. There's a God that's by your side. There's a God on your side. Jesus Christ himself, the master archer, his bow is bent, coming to your defense when you can't fight by yourself. Can I remind you that you cannot fight by yourself? Now we're talking about bows and arrows, but the reality is that we're not really talking about a physical bow and arrow, because that leads me to the text of Genesis 49. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a young man named Joseph, 17 years old. God gave him a dream. God gave him a vision of who he created him to be. Who he created, designed Joseph to be. And you'll find that almost the entire life of Joseph was under a constant attack. That attack is seen because Jacob sits down his sons at the time that he's getting close to die. And at the time that he's supposed to bless his sons, Jacob looks at his sons. He looks at Reuben. He looks at Simeon. He looks at Levi. And there was some pain in his heart because he remembered what Reuben had done to Joseph. And now I can see that as he tells Reuben, you're unstable as water, and he begins to carry out rebukes on his sons, I can only imagine that over in the corner he sees his son Joseph, his beloved son Joseph, and there's a tear that streamed down his face, and he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well, and his branches run over the wall. He said, but the archers have sorely grieved him. He said, the archers, the arrows, they've grieved him. Now, there's never a mention that there was ever an arrow flown in the direction of Joseph. But you remember that Joseph's brothers, they hated him. There was arrows of hatred. There was arrows of envy. There was arrows of jealousy. Joseph had to fight the arrows of temptation from Potiphar's wife. Joseph had to fight the arrows of betrayal from the baker and the butler. But can I tell you that God's hand was still with Joseph? That the archer was still with Joseph? And at the end of the day, Joseph's hand was made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. Can I tell you, I don't know what it is that you've come to this conference with, but the Holy Ghost is here. The Spirit of God is here. And there is no wound that God can't heal. There is no battle that God can't win. There is no arrow that God can't destroy. need the Holy Ghost to latch a hold to your soul. I'm preaching to somebody right now to tell you that if God is for you, who can be against you? I'm not afraid of the hour. I'm not afraid of the hour. I'm not afraid. Oh, somebody clap your hands and lift your voice in the house. Come on, that's it. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. Let God speak. Come on, let him speak. Is anybody bored? Is anybody bored? Good. I'm going to take my time if that's all right. You find that the archer, the marksmanship, the skill of a man taking up the bow symbolizes victory. Everybody shout victory. Amen. Symbolizes victory. God had a bow in his hand, and every adversary he went forth conquering and to conquer. But it makes no sense to say that you want to fight the adversary and you don't know how to use the weapon. Somebody say amen. Amen. It makes no sense to say that you want to fight against the adversary that you can't see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a carnal battle. This is spiritual warfare. But you have to know how to fight with the weapons that we use. Does anyone happen to know what offensive weapon predated the sword? I'll give you 3 seconds. It was the bow. Lord, help us this morning. Before men begin to beat metal and steel, before they begin to fashion iron weapons, they begin to pick up sticks and strings and stones, and they put together the bow. You thought you were coming to Mid-America, but you really came to was Archery 101. Brother Brandon, if I can get some help. You see, the archer has to know how to use the bow if he's going to fight against the adversary. The bow is intended to be a weapon of precise accuracy. In the hand of the archer, it can be as deadly as the archer wants it to be. But you have to know the significance of the bow, because I believe that there are implications that the bow not only symbolizes victory, but it symbolizes the word of God, because the word of God is the only thing that would defeat the adversary that's coming against you. I said the word of God is the only thing that would defeat the adversary that's coming against you. And the bow is meant to be steady in the hand of the archer as he extends out his hands and put his hands on the bow. The word of God, Psalms 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word will never change. It's not changing for you, it's not changing for me, and it's not changing for your adversary. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I'm here to tell you that the word of God, the doctrine of truth, is what we stand on. It's what we fight with. And it's not moving. It's not changing. It's forever settled. It's not wavering. That bow is not moving. I said the bow is not moving. Because if this bow moves, that means you let your enemy live another day. Everybody with me so far? This is just a teaching session this morning. It's a morning service. Bear with me.
Come on.
You let your enemy live one more day. But to use the word of God, you have to be effective. You have to be sharp. You have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because the spirit of a marksman cannot afford to miss. There's young people right now that you've been trying to figure out
why the devil keeps coming back and why he keeps tormenting your mind, why he keeps lying to you, why he keeps attacking you, is because you got to kill the adversary while you can and don't let him get away. Kill him while you can. Somebody shout, kill him while you can. Don't let him get away. And the hand of the archer is out as it's on the bow. He's stable. He's ready. But the archer is ineffective with the bow if he doesn't have arrows. Everybody shout arrows. He's ineffective if he doesn't have arrows. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharp. We're getting close to where I need to be, but Kirk, I need some help on the organ, if you don't mind, to liven this service up a little bit. For everybody that fell asleep, for everybody that's been out since 3 o'clock, this organ is just for you. The bow in the hand of the archer is powerful, but I want you young people to know that you have to leave with the spirit, with the word on the inside of you, that when you go back to your school, that you won't let the devil intimidate you. You won't let the devil lie to you. You won't let the devil overtake you, because God's word, it cannot lie. And you need to use the word of God on the inside of you and say, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I am an overcomer. I am a child of God. I am created in the image of the Almighty God. I cannot lose. I know the devil's tormenting me, but I'm not going to lose. I know I'm walking and I'm limping with wounds, but I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to keep fighting because God is fighting for me. Oh, somebody clap your hands and praise the Lord in the house. God is fighting for you. But I'm telling you, the word of God on the inside of you is what we need to fight the adversary. The word of God on the inside of you is what we need to defeat the enemy. But you don't just use the bow, you need the arrow. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 15, the prophet Elisha, he spoke to the king Joash, and he gave him the formula of how to overcome his adversary. Do you want to know what the formula is? He said, I want you to take a bow, and I want you to take arrows in your hand. He said, I want you to take this bow in your hand. I want you to take this arrow. The Bible says he instructed him to open up the windows eastward. He said, I want you to take an arrow in your hand. He said, I want you to shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Everybody see that? He said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Can I tell you what the devil's afraid of this morning? Can I tell you? Just nod your head if you listen. Can I tell you what the devil's afraid of this morning? He's afraid that you're going to get the word of God in you and you're going to use it against him. He's afraid that you're going to start believing what the preacher's preaching, and you might get enough strength to pull yourself up from the battlefield and say, I'm not going to quit today. I'm not going to turn around today. I'm not going out like that today. Now, this is an apostolic Pentecostal church. Am I right? Which means that we believe, we preach, we live, we breathe, we eat the apostles' doctrine. But do you know that that doctrine is not just words that's scribbled on a page? It is the arrows that the adversary fears. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. It's not just some fancy scripture that you quote because it sounds good, but the adversary is afraid of the doctrine of truth that resides on the inside of you. That's why he said, teach it to your children when they go by the way. Teach it to them in the morning. Teach it to them at night, because it's the word of God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I said it's the word of God that the adversary. How do you know that, Brother Williams? I'll tell you how I know. Because James 2 and 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. But the devils also believe, and they tremble. Can I tell you that there's an arrow that the adversary begins to shake at the knees when you put it on that bow? And it's the arrow of truth when you put it in your mouth and say, I plead the blood of Jesus against every devil in hell. I plead the blood of Jesus against every attack. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. Somebody clap your hands and praise God. The devil's getting afraid right now. Come on, just keep praising him. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Come on, the devil's been attacking you right now. It's your good time for you to start fighting back. You need to fight back against the adversary. Stand toe to toe. Go blow for blow. Shoot bow for bow. And say, I'm not quitting. And I tell you that it matters. It matters what kind of arrows you put in your bow. It matters what kind of doctrine you believe. Oh, I'm going to say that one again for the church so somebody would hear me. It matters what kind of doctrine you believe. It matters what kind of doctrine you listen to on YouTube. It matters what kind of doctrine you listen to on your podcast. And when you're reading good books, it might be a good book, but the wrong arrow in your bow will not defeat. Since I'm feeling good, Brother Kirk, you got me feeling good, man. Thank you very much. Since I'm feeling good, can I tell you why we don't preach a Trinitarian doctrine? Because a Trinitarian doctrine is a cop-out doctrine. It is a doctrine that says maybe I can put three arrows on one bowstring, and maybe I have enough arrows that I might just hit the target. That maybe, just maybe, if I believe that there's three persons, separate and distinct persons in the Godhead, that maybe when I get to heaven, I might see one of them and I'll be all right. But we don't preach a doctrine of probability, but we shoot arrows for accuracy. I think I'm gonna say that again. I said, we're not preaching a doctrine for probability. Well, maybe one day we might just be right. This word is right. It's forever settled and it won't change. It is the arrows of truth that the adversary can't stay. And that's why I want to tell somebody in the house, you need to get this doctrine on the inside of you, because it's the doctrine of truth that the adversary can't stand. It's this one God message, being baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, that the that's why you got to leave here. Listen, that's why you got to leave here with your quiver full of arrows. Because you're going back to school and there's girls holding hands and there's boys sending pictures in Snapchat because they delete in 30 seconds and you gotta fight arrow after arrow after arrow after arrow. But my bow will be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord in me on the inside right now. You need to load up your quiver with arrows from Ephesians 4 and 4 that says that there is one body and there's one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, that's above all, that's in all and through all. But that's not all. You got to fill up your quiver with 1 Timothy 2 and 5. There's one God and there's one mediator between man, the man Christ Jesus himself, the chief archer, the marksman of heaven, the King of Kings. He's fighting.
Before it's over, man. I'm playing games with the devil.
But what if you're under attack this morning? What if the adversary is targeting your mind? Anybody ever felt like you was targeted by the adversary? Everybody in this house knows what it feels like to be under siege, to be under attack from the arrows of the adversary. I don't care who you are, there's arrows, there's fiery darts that are being flown in your direction. There are times that we feel like we're under attack from the enemy. Brother Kirk, and there's times I feel like I can't get my mind right to pray, that when I get down to pray, I can't even think straight because there's thoughts coming to my mind. And when I come to a service at Mid-America, I want to lift up my hands and praise God, but I can't feel the Holy Ghost like I want to because I got wounds from arrows. I got wounds from arrows in my mind. I got wounds from arrows in my heart. I got wounds from arrows in my soul. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? But I want to help you out this morning, because so many times we see ourselves as the victim when we should see ourselves as the victor. Anybody need victory in the house this morning? I begin to study, begin to read. There are two types of targets in the Bible. Everybody shout targets. There's two types of targets in the Bible. There's the one that we see ourselves as most of the time. The target that is made for practice. You can keep standing. I'm almost done. I'm almost there. Some of y'all just, y'all got happy for the first time this morning. My God, help us. Targets that you see yourself as most of the time. To say that why the devil keeps on picking on me, why the devil keeps on attacking me. Can I tell you why? Because you got the anointing of God on you, that you got the call of God upon you, that God created you to be more than who you are right now. There's a preacher's wife in you. There's a pastor on the inside of you. There's a Bible study teacher on the inside of you. There's an evangelist on the inside of you. And the only reason why the devil's fighting you the way he is because he wants to kill the dream of the dreamer. There's two types of targets. The first target is a target that the Bible declares, but you wouldn't know it as a target because the Bible calls it the mark. Everybody say the mark. This is what you see in Lamentations 3 and 12. The Bible says he has bent his bow and set me as the mark for the arrow. Everybody say the mark. That mark meaning target. And then you see in 1 Samuel 20 and 20 that Jonathan told David, he said, I will shoot on the side thereof three arrows. I will shoot three arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. Everybody shout mark. Everybody still with me? We're going to learn something this morning. And this is why in the New Testament, the Greek word hamartia, it's why they use it to define it and declare that it means missing the mark or missing the target. But that's the mark that we see ourselves as. But I pray that in the next few minutes that there's a declaration that you change your spirit and you stop seeing yourself as defeated. What if I told you that having a target on you was not a bad thing? What if I told you that having a target on you was not a bad thing? Because the other type of target that there is in the Bible is a target in the Old Testament. A target in the Old Testament, you would know it as a target because it calls it a target. In 1 Chronicles 14 and 8, 2 Chronicles 14 and 8, he said, and Asa had an army, and they all bear targets and spears. And then you see that King Solomon made 200 targets. Everybody shout targets.
Targets.
Targets of beaten gold. So if mark means target, then what does target mean? Let you think about that for a second. If mark means target, then what does target mean? Can I declare unto you that in the Old Testament, the target, the meaning of the target was the shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I tell some young person right now that you need to stop seeing yourself as a target and know that the thing that you think is causing you your agony and the devil's persecuting you because you have long hair and people are coming against you because you're holy and you see yourself as a target. You need to know that the thing that you think is hurting you is the thing that's protected you. I think I'm gonna say that again. The thing that you think is destroying you is actually the thing that's protecting you. When you go to school, you ought to know that your long hair is your covering, and you have power with the angels. And every arrow that comes against you, I'm deflecting against the enemy. I'm walking against the enemy. There's no arrow that can harm me. There's no arrow. I shall not be afraid for the arrow that fly in my day. Right now, that you won't make yourself an easy target. An easy target is an idle target. Oh, help us, Jesus. An easy target is a selfie queen when God is looking for soul winners. An easy target is Playboy preachers when God is looking for Bible study teachers. But can I tell you that the easiest target is a target that stands there when the archer can pull back his bow and he can't miss the shot. But I'm declaring right now in the Holy Ghost that you need to get a spirit on the inside of you and say, I'm going to be a moving target. I'm not going to stand here and let the adversary destroy my soul. I'm not going to stand here. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling every young person right now, if the devil's been coming against you, you need to step out of your pew right now. Come on, step out. Come on, step out, step out, step out, step out. And you need to get a bow in your hand and say, I'm going to fight back against the adversary. I'm going to fight back against the enemy. I'm not going to let the devil steal one more person out of my youth group. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy, my mind, my peace, my anointing. Now, come all the way around. Come on, everybody, everybody. There's enough room for everybody. Listen. There's a theme of this conference, and I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. I want every young person in here right now, I want you to raise your hand if you feel like the devil's been attacking your mind and there's stuff you've been battling with that you need God to help you with. Raise your hand, raise your hand. Listen. Captain of the Lord's host is here right now. God's spirit is here right now. I said the Holy Ghost is here right now. Anybody believe that? And every young person that's come to this house with wounds, with battle scars, with stuff in your mind that's tormenting you, you need to make up in your mind that today is the last day that the devil's going to torment you. Today, somebody shout today. Today is the last day the devil's going to torment my mind. I'm tired of my mind battling these thoughts. I'm tired of my heart battling these emotions. I'm tired of my spirit being shaken. I know I got a calling. I know God has more. I know there's anointing. But do you know there's an arrow? There's an arrow trying to tell you what you're not. But I'm telling you, you ought to take up a bow in your hand and say, I declare in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. I'm taking my mind back. I'm taking my youth group back. I'm taking my family back. My parents don't live for God, but I'm fighting for the dead. I said, keep it going. And right now in the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to lift up your voice. And I want you to let God speak. Come on, lift them up as high as you can. Come on, it's in the Holy Ghost that's going to move right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we bind every spirit of the adversary. God, we bind every spirit of perversion. God, I bind every spirit of hatred. God, I bind every spirit of deceit. God, we bind every spirit of hatred, depression. God, we bind them in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. Come on, that's a breakthrough. Listen, listen.
I don't believe in manufacturing church services. I believe in being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I believe right now, listen, there's some young people right now and you want to break down and cry so bad. Because I'm preaching right to the wounds that you battle. The Holy Ghost is speaking right to you. But we're going to get the victory in Jesus' name. Anybody believe that? I said we're going to get victory in Jesus' name. The only name that has all power in heaven and in earth. And this is what we're going to do. Listen, this is your moment. We're all together, one big family. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to pray. And when we begin to pray, I want you to lift up your voice. And I want you to carry it up to God with every pain, with every burden, with every wound that you've drugged yourself here with. Listen, I know I'm not trying to be super spiritual at all. I know what I'm feeling. I know, Brother Lewis, we've been battling stuff for weeks. And it was young people. I began to close my eyes. I can see you dragging yourself across the battlefield, dragging hands and knees just so you can get here. But the Holy Ghost is about to help you right now in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands as high as you can. And I want a spirit of victory to fill this house. I want a spirit of victory to fill this house. That's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, come on, come on. God's coming. Come on, that's it, the archer. Come on, there's a God. He's sitting on a white horse. And there's a bow in his hand. And he's going for it to conquer. And to conquer. And every demon in hell that's coming against you. Every adversary that's fighting against you. He has to come down. 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 Lift up your voice. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, that's it. Come on, let the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. God, I'm not quitting, Jesus. God, the wounds, the pain. Make yourself a moving target. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. I want you to reach over to a young person next to you. Something's happening in the Holy Ghost. Come on, reach over to another young person next to you. Come on, you don't know what they're battling with when they go back to school. You don't know what they're fighting with when they go back home. There's arrows day after day, week after week. But the Holy Ghost, put a bow in your hand, put a bow in your hand, put a bow in your hand, and lift up your voice and say, God, God, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, that's it, come on, that's it. Come on, that's it, come on, take a bow in your hand. Come on, take a bow in the hand. Come on, the devil's a liar. Come on, you are called by God. There is an anointing on you. You know it. The devil knows it. And that's why. Come on, that's it. Something's happening. Come on, that's it. Take a bow. Come on, take a bow. Take a bow. Take a bow. Take a bow. Come on, the devil's fighting you to be holy. That's it right there. Come on, that's it a little louder. A little louder. Come on, that's it. I feel it. Come on, can you feel it? Come on, the captain of the Lord. Come on, fight. Come on, fight.
your bow. Take up your bow. You ought to praise God. Praise God for your breakthrough. Praise God for your breakthrough. I wonder how radical you would be if you knew that this moment, this service, this conference, that when you go back to school, that you have more authority in the Holy Ghost than you ever had. How radical would you be if you said, God, if I just give you the praise you're worthy of, God, can you fight for me? God, can you fight for me? King David knew how to be a moving target. King Saul was trying to destroy and kill his anointing. And the Bible says that as David began to play on the harp, that Saul picked up a javelin and tried to pin him to the wall. But David said, I'm going to be a moving target. I'm not going to let the adversary kill me. I'm not going to let him kill my anointing. And David's walking in the streets, trying to bring back the anointing of God to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that as his wife, Michal, was looking at him from the window, she began to despise him and say, don't praise God like that. Don't cry out like that. Don't worship like that. But David didn't pay her no mind. He said, I'm going to praise God the same way, because I'm not going to be I'm going to be a moving target. I'm not going to let the devil kill me. Give God your best shot. I said, give God your best shot. I know the devil's fighting you. I know this. We battle, we fight things day after day. But give God your best shot. Somebody give God your best shot. I said, give God your best shot. I said, give God your best shot. And say, God, I'm picking up the bow. I'm not going to. That's it. Something's happening. Cry with your best cry. Pray with your best prayer. Fight with your best fight. And say, God, you're fighting for me. God, you're fighting for me. God,
my praise is winning on the battlefield. My praise is winning on the
Let it rain.